be good for the children to stay with us this morning and hear the Word of God together. And one of the things we need to realize is that the Word of God is just as effective in a child's life as it is in an adult's life. And we need to remember that as we talk today. We are going to continue in our series in Exodus. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Exodus chapter 20. And we're actually looking at the fifth commandment. And just for those of you who are wondering, yes, I know I skipped over the third and fourth commandment. We will come back to them. But it seemed appropriate that on Mother's Day, as we talked about mothers, it would be appropriate to talk about honoring our father and our mother. Now today, as we look into Exodus chapter 20, and specifically this command that was given to the nation of Israel at Sinai to honor your father and your mother, I want us to be considering what does it mean and why do we honor our parents? What does it mean and why do we honor our parents? You know, this can be a more difficult command than we realize. You know, not every parent is perfect. I've actually narrowed it down. No parent is perfect. I still remember as a young father, as two of our girls, well, by the way, we only have two girls plus my daughter-in-law, but anyway, my two girls, we were giving them a bath, and they splashed waters up into my eyes, and it was a bubble bath, and it was soapy, and it stung, and my immediate response was, "What were you thinking?" And that moment of just tone change, just you could watch a 3-year-old child go from happy play to crushed spirit. And I remember as I looked at them, and they're both looking at me half stunned, and I just in the moment, you want to talk about the humbling look of a child. And I looked at them, I said, "You know, girls, I'm sorry. What Dad did was sin." And I remember my oldest daughter going, You mean parents sin too? And I was like, "No, absolutely not." And how a 3-year-old at that age, how they learned that parents aren't perfect. And I say this because this passage, for those of us that were blessed, I was blessed to be raised in a godly home with great parents. I have a great relationship with my parents. Dion and I have talked. She had the same with her parents growing up. We were just blessed in that way. But I know that's not the testimony of everyone, right? For some, they have parents that they have harder relationships with. And honestly, some parents are very, very hurtful. They do things that are destructive to our lives. And then you read a verse like this that says, "Honor your father and mother," and it's like, how wise could this be? How could this be a good and wise thing? And that's why I want us to look at this morning and think about why do we do this and what does it mean to honor our father and mother? Now, I'm just going to tell you up front, man, parents, my appeal to you as you're raising your children is make it easy on your children to honor you. Make it easy on them. They're sinful creatures. I like how Vodi Bakum puts it, especially we have some newborns among. He calls them their vipers in a diaper. I'm like, what a great picture of a small child. He points out, he says, the reason why God makes children weak is so they won't kill us, and the reason he makes them cute is so we won't kill them. Kind of laugh. And it just as we look at our children, we think about it. I mean, he's joking, of course, but the reality is that our children, they're sinful. They're sinful from their conception because they bear sin nature just as we do as adults. And part of the challenge in raising children is working through and talking with them the gospel so they would understand their need of redemption just as much as any adult's need. And we want to be parents that make it easier for them to embrace and know the gospel, not harder. But as we will see, and we'll talk through this, this sermon today is not just about children and parenting. It literally is also about adults. And what does it mean for us to honor our parents as well? I mean, you've already heard this as Nathan was reading the scripture out of Matthew 15 and the challenge that it presents. There's a central point that I want us to walk away from today. One that applies from the youngest among us to the oldest. and it's this, that honoring our parents is a lifelong calling of obedience to the gospel to display the glory of God. You'll notice that phrase, lifelong. Honoring our parents is a lifelong calling of obedience to the gospel to display the glory of God. There's a purpose behind our calling to obey our parents. And that ultimately is to glorify God. And very specifically, in honoring our parents, it displays the gospel to others that see us. That we take it seriously when we say we follow our Lord. And say, because we follow our Lord, because the Spirit indwells us, because the Father has spoken, we will honor our parents. Even when it is difficult. And hopefully when it is easy. And that we would do this together as a way to display the glory of God. So I'm going to take the sermon in two sections, the two major sections. One is I'm going to talk to children and about children. And what does it mean to say we have to honor our father and our mother? Kids, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you in here today. Very specifically, as I look around, this sermon is for you, right? By the way, in the second section, I'm going to talk very specifically to adults. So kids, you get to take notes and go home and say, Mom and Dad, this is what you're supposed to do, right? So Mom and Dad don't just get to tell you this is what you're supposed to do. You get to go home and say, this is what you're supposed to do. And one of the things as we walk through this and we consider this together, I want us to see just how Scripture talks about honoring our parents as a lifelong activity, not just something we do as children. All right. So first of all, we're going to talk about children in our childhood, about honoring our father and our mother. If you're looking there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now I'm going to read also to you another passage out of Leviticus. Leviticus 19, 1 through 3, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere, this is the same word we get fear or respect from, shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. I want you to see that in the nation of Israel, it was seen as foundational to the forming of the nation, respecting parents. This was fundamental to the forming of the nation, that they would respect their parents, they would honor them. Now, if you notice the fifth commandment when you read the Ten Commandments, right, it is a transitional command. You may remember, as I talked about in the weeks past, really, when you look at the Ten Commandments, there's two major sections to them. The first section is all about loving God. The second section is all about loving your neighbor. The first section is directed upwards towards God and coming under His authority. The second section is directed towards others, including, as we see in this transitional command, coming under human authority. And so, when you think about the Ten Commandments, it's interesting to see that what is going on is the nation has been told, this is the one and only true God. You'll have no other images of Him. You will make no idols of Him. You will not use His name in vain. You will keep His Sabbaths. And then as it transitions from, here's what you're going to do in relation to God, now here's what you're going to do in relation, in your human relationships. And it begins with, you will honor your father and your mother. And we need to realize that what God is doing in this fifth command is establishing authority. That God has appointed authority in our lives that we are to come under. And very specifically in the life of the family, it's the children coming under the authority of their parents. This verse is going to be used later in writing the New Testament by Paul in Ephesians 6. If you want to look in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, you see how Paul uses this. We've already read this out loud together this morning. We've confessed this in a form this morning with the children saying this. And notice how Paul uses this as he talks to the household. Ephesians 6, actually, if you look in Ephesians 5 and 6, you actually also see this in Colossians. It occurs over in 1 Peter. It's what's known as a household code. That is, it's telling the household how they're to relate in some way, shape, or form. And here Paul gets to how children are to relate to their parents. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This command is actually, the Greek word is hupoakouo, is how it's put together. Akouo, you actually probably know, at least in what we brought it over in English, it means to listen. Acoustic. You've heard of acoustic guitars, as I know John and Doak were playing this morning, right? Acoustic. The hupo is the hyper-listening. I mean, that's kind of the picture that's being given here. Obedience is about listening with intent, that I'm going to do what I'm told. Kids, what the scripture actually says to you is you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word there, right, actually can mean righteous. This is the righteous thing to do, is to obey your parents. You need to realize that God has established authority in your life, kids, in your parents to obey. I want to point out something here. It can get missed because the way we can read this sometimes is notice that Paul is very specifically addressing children, right? He doesn't say, parents, go tell your kids to obey you. He literally, kids, he writes directly to you through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, this is what you're supposed to do if you're a follower of Christ. Do you realize, read Ephesians. Do you realize what Paul has assumed here is that these are believing children. They've put their faith in Christ. And kids, if you put your faith in Christ, you now have an obligation to follow your Lord. Right? We don't just put our faith in Christ and say, well, I just want to be saved from the punishment of sin. I care nothing for the Lord who saves me from my sin. What Scripture shows us over and over is if we are saved, we're going to love Christ and we're going to do what He commands us. And here the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul says, kids, you are to obey your parents. You're actually supposed to listen, right? Sometimes I know us guys, we get in trouble for not always listening, right? Guys, you ever had this? Like, are you listening to me? I'll give you an inappropriate response. I'll say, yeah, absolutely. I'm just not responding. Like, yeah, that doesn't save you, by the way. All right? Like, oh, okay. Kids, right? You need to listen to your parents. What are they saying? And not just what they say, why they say it. My father-in-law in raising Dion and Trent as they grew up, he used a line that was, I consider unfair, though it's true. He would tell them things and then they would try to manipulate. Kids, you ever done this? You try to follow exactly the letter of what they've said, but you try to manipulate and get around it in some other way. And my father-in-law would say, but you know my heart. Like, how's that fair? I don't want to know your heart. I just want to follow the letter of the law, right? I just want to get away. And parents, don't we do this in our life? You know what? I just want you to follow the letter of the law. Just do what I say and ignore the fact that they're supposed to obey you in the Lord. You see, even children are told that as they're following you as their parents, they have to consider what their Lord would say to them. So when a parent asks them to do something sinful, a child, now kids, be careful here. Just because you don't want to do it doesn't make it sinful. But if you ask them to do something sinful, that child can literally say, my Lord Jesus says I can't do that. Boy, that'll humble you real fast as a parent, won't it? To hear a child tell you, I don't think my Lord would let me do that because it's sinful. You see, Scripture has this very balanced view. And look, in extreme cases, parents can actually be highly irresponsible and hurtful towards their children. And these children are forced to pick very, very difficult things. So they want to honor their parents. They want to do that. But they realize to honor them is actually to ask them to be in sin. And we're forcing a child to make an adult decision. Parents, this is why I say to you, make it easy on your children. You're not going to be perfect, but if your children know you are seeking to follow the Lord righteously, it makes it 1,000 times easier for them to say yes, because they know my parents love me and they want me to do that which is godly. And I say this to you because we need to remember as parents, this verse about our children obeying us should weigh heavy on us as well. It should weigh heavy on us because I never want to ask my children to do something that my Lord would not. And so you need to realize there's wisdom going on here. And it's interesting because he bases the argument. Notice how Paul bases the argument here. Paul bases his argument off of what has been said in the Ten Commandments. He's literally quoting the Greek translation of this. It's known as the Septuagint. And when he says, honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise. And then notice verse 3, that it may go well with you, that you may live long. And in the ESV, it translates it in the land. It's literally on the earth. That's the difference. When you read the Hebrew, it does say in the land, right? If you remember, as we read in Exodus 20, it says, in this land that I'm going to give to you, you need to obey your parents if you want it to go well there. Paul, using the Greek translation, says you need to obey your parents if you want it to go well on earth. You want it to go well with you here, you need to do it on earth. Now, it's really important because when we think of this, it is a pattern, kids, that you need to realize. Kids, if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, He is saying, follow my pattern. Kids, you need to understand, you have sin in your life. Even if you place your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're still fighting sin. Ask any adult, ask your parents. They've had many years head start on you. Are they still fighting sin? If they tell you no, you tell them, go talk to Pastor Tom, okay? Because we still fight sin, don't we, adults? That doesn't change. Now, part of the glorious thing about us fighting sin is we no longer do it on our own. We do it with the help of the Spirit, right? That our God is faithful to complete the work He's begun in our life. And kids, what you need to know is that as you look at this, your Lord, who was without sin, submitted to His parents. He was without sin. In Luke 2, 51 and 52, it actually says that our Lord submitted to His parents. Very specifically in 2:52, it says, here's the context. They had gone, if you remember, you got to love this. What do you do when you lose the Savior of the world? You panic and you go back to Jerusalem. That's what you do, right? Joseph and Mary, they've been in Jerusalem and they're celebrating the feast and they leave and they have that parental moment. Some of you parents may have actually done this. They left the kid at the church, right? That's what happened. They literally, as you see the story described, they realize, I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. So kids, I'm just telling you, if you ever get left at church, your mom and dad, all that's going on is they're following what Joseph and Mary taught them to do, okay? Right? So, we've nearly had these. By the way, our backup plan was, as parents, is we brought the grandparents to church as well. We figured four of us could bring at least five kids home. That was our kind of our thing. Anyway, so you see this happen. They go back, and they question Jesus. And if you're looking there in Luke 2, it actually says, well, why did you do this? And he says, I have to be about my Father's work. That's why I'm at my Father's house. But then he doesn't say, so I've got this, leave me alone. It's interesting what Luke puts next. It's after that. But then he writes in 2:51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Submissive, it's the word hupotasso. Again, hupo, which we heard earlier, it's a heightening of it. Tasso is the idea of coming under something. So it literally says, and it's in the Greek, it's in a middle voice. Now, we don't really have this in English. It was kind of hard for us to understand. The idea here is it was a volitional choice for him to submit to his parents. That's what it's carrying here. Kids, you need to realize you have to make a choice to obey and submit to your parents. Every parent will tell you the day will come they can no longer make you do it. Right? Parents, we learn this because what happens, right? I mean, I think about it. When my children were small, right? I was, I don't know, 10 times their size. I could almost physically force them to do anything I wanted to. Well, that's not true. You get a toddler, they're pretty resilient. But you know, you just, I have this physical overbearing force, right? They start growing older, and they go and they start growing into young adults. We call them teenagers, which is kind of a modern phrase for it, but really what it is their transition from their childhood and the way Scripture talks about it into their adulthood. And often what we do is we resort to other forms of power and strength that we think we have. So I'll yell at them, and I'll just yell louder, because obviously they're just deaf. That's the obvious problem, right? And we start doing these things, or we even as parents try to use threats and manipulation, right? And we realize the problem is that child has to choose to obey. And any parent who's walked with a rebellious child knows they can choose not to obey. And it is frustrating as a parent. You know, one of the things it teaches you really, really quickly, I should have been praying a lot more. And I'm just going to encourage you, parents and kids, you just hear me. You need to obey your parents. Parents, you need to be working now. Don't wait till they're teenagers, till they're young adults. You need to be working when they're teenagers to be as toddlers and saying they to train their hearts to follow the good things that you tell them, but make it easy on them. Show them your love. Sometimes it is good to be kind. Let them understand mercy, right? Sometimes they need to understand grace through discipline, right? You can't let them get away with everything. But just realize that our Lord, kids, he's without sin. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Kids, it says that our Lord was like us in every way. He was fully human with one and only one exception. He was without sin. And yet he chose to submit, to come under his parents' authority. And it says that Mary, his mother, treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus then noticed he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Here's a key point you need to know, kids. Submission to parental authority was part of Jesus increasing in wisdom and in favor. Follow the pattern of our Lord. The way our Lord, which is an amazing thing to think, he is fully God, but he's fully man. He's fully human. And part of the description of Scripture is that he increases in wisdom and in favor by coming under the authority of his parents. That's part of what he did. You want to increase in wisdom? You want to become wiser, kids? You want to increase in favor? You want to do that? One of the things you have to do is come under the authority of your parents. Now, I'm going to remind you, I can't put the exception every term, but I will tell you, parents, don't ask them to do sinful things. Because I would tell your child, if your mom and dad ask you to do something sinful, you need to say, but my Lord won't let me do that. Now, kids, if you come into my office and say, well, I told my mom my Lord won't let me do that, we're going to have a real quick talk, because if your Lord didn't say that, I'm going to say, you better go listen to your mom, right? I just tell you right now. I know in our house growing up, my kids, right, I told them, whatever your mom says, I don't care where I was at. If your mom says it, dad said it. Mom told me to go play dodge car on Marbach. That's what mom said, so dad said it too. I'm being facetious, right? The point being is I wanted my children to understand it didn't matter if you talk to mom or you talk to dad, you get the same answer because we expect that you'll obey us. Because we are going to tell you wise and good things to do for your good. That's what we're going to do because this is for God's glory. Now, it's interesting because if you look in Romans chapter 1, and actually you look at Micah 7, but I'm going to look in Romans 1. In Romans 1, 28 through 31, what it shows to us is a danger. A real danger. It says rebellion against parental authority is part of a debase, I'm using the scriptural word there, a debase or a sinful mind. So kids, just realize you're rebelling against your parents and saying I won't obey is actually the very evidence that you have sinful minds. Look in Romans, and it's very specific in Romans 1. It's interesting when you read the passage, and I'm just going to pick up verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. You see that there? A sinful mind given over to sin. A debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and maliciousness, right? You hear this, and our natural response is to think this is adults, right? Our natural, these are all adults that are doing this. But notice how he goes on. They are gossips and slanderers and haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Isn't that interesting? It's talking towards children, right? Now, it's not just thinking of, by the way, we'll see that it's not just the youngest. It's literally thinking about those who are becoming adults. That part of the sinful mind is shown in their disobedience. Disobedience to parents. Foolishness is then associated to it, right? Go read Proverbs. Foolishness, faithlessness, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, right? They actually know that these things are lead to death. They do them anyway. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Right? One of the realities in our society today that we have to be careful of is permissive parenting. Right? This is a very dangerous thing. Look, I'm not arguing for harsh parenting. Don't misunderstand me. In fact, we didn't read it. Go read Ephesians chapter 6. You get to verse 4, and it literally says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Right? Be aware that you, as the one who bears a familial responsibility and authority, don't poke your kids in such a way that it's going to anger them and enrage them towards you. So that's not, and we got to realize that, but so it's not harsh parenting, but it's not permissive parenting either. It's not let them do whatever they want. Right? That's actually not the good, kind, and gracious thing to do. That is the dangerous thing to do. Because you're allowing them to follow after their sinful hearts. And any of us that have lived any amount of time know that, man, our sinful hearts will take us in places we never want to go. And so we need to realize there's real danger. And in fact, this was seen as such a danger in the nation of Israel. They literally talked about stoning rebellious children, right? Yeah, this is actually in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, it reads, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. This is, by the way, this is the equivalent of taking someone to court. That's what this is the equivalent of in the ancient world. This is like taking them down to the courthouse. It says, and then they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. Our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is, and then notice what it's describing, because it reveals something about his age. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all the Israel shall hear and fear. Anyone glad you're no longer under the old covenant? There's some of us here as adults, we're like, man, I would have been that kid, right? You just need to see in the pattern here, right? So this is not advocating for the stoning of children, or at least not the modern day. The nation of Israel saw how serious a threat it was for rebellious children to the life of the nation. Not just to the family, to the life of the nation. And so they took it very seriously, and they had this command, like, if this kid, and this would have been a young adult, right? This was not the small ones, right? This is a young adult, and you can see it, because he has become a glutton and a drunkard, right? He's old enough to do adult things. And this child will not listen. We have tried to bring discipline. We've tried to bring correction. And in the life of the nation of Israel, it was so serious. They're like, you know what? Then we'll take this child to court and say, we don't think he's redeemable. And the nation would exercise judgment, right? Notice, by the way, and I don't know, what's the old saying, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out of it. Okay, that's not what's going on here, right? Parents don't get that privilege. This is a privilege of the judgment of the nation. But it does point to a pattern we need to see, okay? The pattern, what's going on, is this. Healthy families make for a healthy people. Healthy families make for a healthy people. That's what's going on in the Old Testament. God establishes this law to honor your father and mother because he knows that a healthy family makes for a healthy people. It also teaches us this. When you heard me read Leviticus earlier, holy families make for a holy people. Healthy families make for a healthy people. Holy families make for a holy people. There's a reason, as a general rule, why believing parents often have believing children. There's no guarantee. I know I can name names of families where I've seen committed followers of Christ and they've had children who have rebelled. So don't take, this is not a guarantee. But the pattern that we see is our children typically do what we do. They follow what we follow. They serve what we serve. They value what we value. And what we see is that you want to establish a pattern of health and holiness so your children will see what to follow after. Well, that's the good way. By the way, not only does it make for a healthy people, the other way to put it would be a healthy community. In other words, we want a healthy church. One of the ways that we have a healthy church is we want healthy families. Families given over to following God fully. By the way, you want a healthy city, to use the terminology of Jeremiah. You want a city that you want to work for its good. You need to have healthy and holy families. You want a nation that is healthy and holy. You know what you need? Healthy and holy families. Right? There's a reason why when you look, what God established is the fundamental formative structure in society is the family. That's the way it works. And there's a reason why you then try to reform the family. Like, let's redefine it, make it something different. Because if you can reform the family, guess what you can do to a society? You can reform it. You can reshape it. And what we need to see scripturally, what's going on, is that we need to be given over to healthiness and holiness in our family, to following after Christ. Because this is how you have a healthy and a holy people, community, city, society, nation. All right? Just realize, and I'll finish with this, with parents and kids. One of the things that disciplining children and expecting obedience. And by the way, when I say discipline, that doesn't always mean spanking. It doesn't always mean harsh, some sort of harsh punishment. That's not what I'm getting at. Sometimes discipline can be just verbal correction, right? Here's the point, that expecting and requiring obedience teaches us it's not all about me, right? It's not all about me. Because you know what sin says? It's all about me. Sin is a self-exaltation of self to the place of God. That's one way to describe it. And what we're doing by expecting our children to submit to us, we're teaching them it is good to submit to godly authority. And who is the ultimate godly authority that it's all about? God Himself. This is why it is a lifelong process when we say honor our parents for the glory of God. Because it glorifies Him. Now, secondly, I'm going to talk to us adults, and this section is a little shorter than the previous. Adults, I want us to point to Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. And I want us to see how our Lord uses this commandment for our lives. Right? In Matthew 15, 1 through 9, it reads, "And the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat.'" Right? So, I don't know, some of you just thought, that's gross. But there was actually a washing ritual to say you need to be clean before you eat. And Jesus is like, well, you want to talk about making the minor thing the major thing. He says, let me tell you your problem. He says, he answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded what?" And notice, he's talking to adults about adult activity. This is not about children. This is about adults. He says, God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And then he quotes Exodus 21:17, whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you have gained from me is given to God. Elsewhere, it's called Corban, if you ever hear that term. It was, I've taken an oath and given all my, everything I've gotten to God. So that's why I'm off the hook for caring for you, my parents. It says, but you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void. Isn't that interesting? You made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Our Lord, adults, actually looks at us and says, honoring our father and mother extends beyond just childhood into adulthood. You see, the gospel is displayed in blessing and caring for our parents, even those who have hurt us. I think everyone's fine with that first phrase until I tell you, even those who have hurt us, right? Because sometimes, you know what? They don't really deserve it. But remember what I said, the central point is, honor our father and mother is a lifelong process to display the gospel. What would the gospel say that you do to somebody who has brought you harm? It says forgive. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are boundaries, right? So the scripture is very balanced, and it's, you're not going to capture everything. I'm going to do this all in one sermon, but you need to understand, this doesn't take away appropriate boundaries, appropriate limitations. Look, sometimes our parents and adult parents want us to do sinful things that are not helpful, and we have to say, no, that's not good. We're not going to do that, right? And if you've ever been put in that position with your parents, it's got to be one of the hardest things you ever have to do in your life when all of a sudden you've got to be the responsible party and you're flipping the relationship on its head. But what you need to realize is that what Scripture says is we need to care for our parents, even those who have hurt us. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5:8, in speaking about widows and those who won't care for their mothers, he says, it's terrible that you will not care for your parents. Because this is what God has called us to do. The reason why I point this out, parents, adults, even if you don't have children, if you have parents to care for, and I'm not just talking about biological parents, some of you have adoptive parents, right? Some of you, and I know this, where they maybe not even legally adopted, you've got people who've stepped in and served as your parent, right? God has been gracious and brought people into your life that have served in that role. And what God is saying is there are ways to still honor your parents and care for them, even if they brought harm to you. That can be hard. You know, this requires a lot of wisdom, right? I know one individual I've seen over and over care for a father who was never in this person's life. But now as an adult, this person cares for that father and watches out for him. For a mother that the person grew up with who's an alcoholic and did a lot of things that were not helpful, they were harmful and hurtful, and yet as an adult, this person has chosen to forgive and cares for a mother and watches out for her. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, the mother still struggles with that sin of alcoholism. This person doesn't just say, well, no big deal, I'm going to give you money so you can have alcohol. That's not what's going on. There's wisdom going on in the exercise, but realize, you can wisely think about how could I honor and bless my parents to show them the gospel. I want you to think about it that way. How can I show them the gospel? You know, I want to finish with just a helpful application. Beth Clays talks about this. She says, you know, One thing you can do to seek to honor your parents is to guard your heart against a growing bitterness towards them. Man, what a powerful thing. God, work in my heart so that my bitterness would not grow, but my genuine forgiveness would. It's a way to honor your parents. I want to be clear here, because I want to emphasize, this doesn't mean that, you know, your parents get carte blanche to do whatever they think and they can demand of you, right? I mean, I just tell you, I would tell you older parents, make it easier on your adult children by preparing well in life and try, you know, doing all you can to make it easy. But that doesn't excuse your children or us that are children, right? I have adult parents that to say not to care for them. Actually, now, in part, it's part of what I do with my parents. I mean, they're in good health, that sort of thing. But there are things that literally now my parents ask for advice on. That's part of me honoring my parents. Saying, hey, let's do things that are wise for you, that you'll know I care for you in the gospel. And I see this with my sister. I see this with my brother-in-law. I've seen it in Dion's life. It's just a gracious thing to care for your parents. And I'm just encouraging you, follow that pattern. Find ways to bless your parents so they can see the gospel. All right. I want to finish, and I just want to remind us the central truth. Kids, you need to know this at your age. You may be 3, 4, well, probably more like 4, 5, 6 as you grow. Adults, you need to know this, no matter where your age is at, that honoring our parents is a lifelong calling of obedience to the gospel to display the glory of God. Let's do this together for God's glory, because God's glory, as we sang earlier, is for our good. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the work of the Spirit, Father, in inspiring Paul to write. I thank you for yourself for literally writing down the Ten Commandments, that we would know how can we live in good, godly ways for your glory. God, I pray, would you use the verses today that they would just seep into our souls, soak in, so that we could see from the youngest among us to the oldest that we can honor our parents in such a way that it would glorify you. Father, I pray, there are many here in different relationships, would you give us wisdom? Because that's what James told us to pray for. If we lack wisdom, Father, he said we need to pray for wisdom. So I pray for each person sitting here today, from the youngest child that has to decide if they will obey to the oldest among us that says, how can I honor those who have been parents to me? Father, would you give us wisdom to do it wisely? Because, Father, we never want to do it that it would be sinful from our hearts or that we would ever do encourage sin. But, Father, we want to do it in such a way that it would display the gospel and glorify you. So, Father, make us wise to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and by the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, let's stand and sing together. We're going to have a song of response. Pastoral team will be down front. If you'd like prayer, we will be here. And if you want to hear more about the gospel, how do you embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior? We are here. You come and join us. If you need prayer, counsel, hear more of the gospel, we'll be here.